Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman podcast, the typical Thursday podcast, live from One Buck Palace. Here we're sequestered in our room. I'm Steve Isbitz with JoeBucksFan.com. The gang is all here, Lee DeCamper and the sage of Tampa Bay sports himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira, your fantastic podcast, your booming podcast, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. And as we sit here November 1st, Ira, it's an exciting time because all the new offers are about to roll out at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, first of the month. They may actually be there now. So I would encourage you, Ira, I know it's in your favorites. Visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Those are the only Hillsborough County Cadillac dealerships. But more important, 70 plus years of Ed Morse, family owned. You get that family caring service just west of I-275 on Fletcher, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, and on Causeway Boulevard, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We'll probably talk about them more, and we'll see probably by the time folks are reading this podcast, Ira, we'll see the new offers right on JoeBucksFan.com as well. So exciting times at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. And of course, you have your Ed Morse Cadillac gear on.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, I must begin with an apology to our listeners, our growing listener family. I, and it has become obvious already on this podcast, I am fighting off a cold. I don't have it yet, but I'm in that limbo area. And I believe whenever, you know, my wife says, how'd you get it? You been around anybody sick? I said, I caught a chill Sunday watching the Buccaneer offense. Caught a chill. So, you know, I asked Mike Smith his questions in my gravelly voice. Look, it's not exactly Sinatra to begin with over here. And but I show up for Mike Smith because he likes to say, old man, start the bidding. I'll tell you what, it was a little easier for Mike Smith this time around, guys, because nobody was killing his defense, which was okay against Carolina. I'm not doing any pinwheels over here, Steve. They were okay. They did give up a touchdown when they could have given up a field goal maybe. It was a vast improvement over Buffalo, and I think what scares the heck out of Mike Smith, besides Drew Brees, and an offense that averages 27 points seemingly every year, Steve, every year, Drew Brees and Sean Payton, 27, 29, 30, 31, that's what they average. Well, it doesn't change.
Two important points.
But hold
first.
On, before well, two, you get your points in.
Well, no, for you to clarify here, first of all, you're talking about Mike Smith addressing the media today at One Buck Place, and we'll get your impressions there. And because I was confused, you know, I'm from another generation, maybe two or three past you. What's a pinwheel?
Well, you know,
I don't even know that.
Well, it's one of these expressions like a Charlotte Russe or a malted or an egg, you know.
Egg cream?
An egg cream.
Well, those are all over my head.
Javier right now is saying, what the hell are these guys talking about? But my point is, what is scaring Mr. Smith, gentlemen, besides the specter of Drew Brees?
His job security?
This is a road game, and quite simply, the Bucs have played three of them and haven't showed up in any of them, the Buck defense. So that's scaring the heck out of Mike Smith. This one could be ugly, gents. Although, in my opinion, if they lose this game, the season's over. If it's not already. But a win gives them a little bit of life support. A little bit.
False hope, possibly?
I don't know. You got Josh McCown around the corner. He's not too scary.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. Now, it's Wednesday. We're recording this. Jameis is going to practice today. First time on a Wednesday in a couple weeks. I'm hearing from people, secondhand, maybe thirdhand, but people that are familiar with Jameis. No one that is collecting a check from the Bucs, by the way. That Jameis's shoulder is a lot worse than what we're being led to believe.
Well, based on last week's performance, Lee was one of his poorest, and he was coming off one of his best as a Buccaneer.
Now, there you go. Exactly. And I was going to get to that point. Thank you for bringing that up. Probably the worst thing for Jameis, from a fan's perspective, that he had one of his best games as an NFL player with a bum shoulder. Well, I'm hearing that shoulder, depending on the day, it's either horrible or it's tolerable. There's really no reason Jameis should be playing. I'm hearing they're looking at second opinions and potential surgery.
Well, Steve, one thing we know is it's been verified that he re-aggravated it in Buffalo. It was re-aggravated. So we don't know at what point in the game it was re-aggravated, but he had a heck of a game. And then he comes out and Dirk Koetter wants to talk about the wind. I'm not buying that totally. I thought it was a little bit of a little life preserver to Winston, who had a very rough day. On a day that the defense played decent,
yes,
and it's a winnable game. Steve, we talked about it. That game had zero entertainment value. I would have probably left at halftime, if not earlier. The fans that stayed either had nothing better to do or they're the real diehards. But Steve, I'll tell you what. You're not going to beat the Saints 16-13. They better score some touchdowns on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm a little confused on the Jameis stuff just because I think we can all understand that the Glazers' number one asset in this organization is not Jason Light. It's not Dirk Cutter. It's Jameis Winston, who's probably going to be here at least 10 years. So I don't see why the Glazers would even bother to take any possible chance with Jameis, because he's their number one asset. They trust their doctors. It's probably reasonably cut and dried. And please stop me and cut me off if you think I'm wrong here.
I'll stop you right here. Maybe there's a sense from the Glazers that the season's salvageable if they win in New Orleans. It's a salvageable season.
Oh, absolutely. That nobody working here is going to mail in the towel when they could go 3-5. And heck, they were on the doorstep of the playoffs last year at 3-5. So I don't think anybody who works in the building thinks it's done.
We don't have any illusions that that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to give you a better chance to win than Winston if he can play the way he played in Buffalo.
But there are
That's just it. Was that a false hope? Was that a mirage?
I mean, Jameis's arm, his shoulder. Okay, I mean, they told us it's sprained. Dirk Cutter said that he's also got a bruise in there. Okay, well, either the doctors, the good doctors say, hey, there's no risk of further injury here, but it's not going to heal till he rests for a month. Or they say it's too risky, don't run, don't let him go. So if they say, hey, look, just like all these other guys who are injured, Gerald McCoy and his knees and his back and this one and that one, if he can play with the pain, it's not a problem. It's one or the other. To me, it's just very simple. I think the gray area is just a bunch of baloney. Put football players play hurt.
But Steve, I do want to see the kid practice during the week. I think that's the problem.
And Lee had a story. It was off Dan Lucas's video on Monday on Channel 8, and we had it on JoeBucksFan.com, the video and the story. Cutter, very honestly and earnestly said, yeah, Jameis says he feels better than he has in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Jameis is lying to Cutter. I doubt it. And that may not mean he's feeling great. It just means he's feeling better than he has been. If the doctors say he's clear, he's clear. If not, I'm sure the Glazers would shut him down.
I think the equation changes a little bit, Lee, after the New Orleans game. If it's 2-6, you're in a 5-game losing streak, and you're 4 games behind the Saints, and you're 0-2 in the division, your season is kaput.
Yes.
Your season is done. Dirt will be thrown on you at that point, and I'll be the first one at the shovel. But going into this game, 3-5 gives you a glimmer. You say false hope, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Look, it would take a Herculean effort to win this game on Sunday. The Saints are hot. They're the hottest team in football. They got 5 wins in a row.
And you could argue the odds are, you're not going to win 6 in a row. That's rare.
They ended the Bucs season, effectively.
Yes.
Last December. Mm-hmm. And I was glad to hear Mike Smith say at the podium, gentlemen, I don't know if you caught this, but this refutes a silly notion Mr. Isbitt's had that the loss to New Orleans, which was in week 16 last year, next to last game, which dropped the Bucs to 8-7, mm-hmm. and that ended it, basically. And I argued the defense didn't show up that day, especially the way they treated Drew Brees a few weeks before in Tampa when they totally shut down the Saints. Mm-hmm. It was a masterpiece, a defensive masterpiece. And what did Smith say at the podium this week? We didn't do a good job on their running game in New Orleans, and we didn't make Brees one-dimensional. And if you don't do that, he's going to carve you up, basically. That's what Smith said. And he did carve him up.
So wait, how does that make me look stupid? What is
because,
this?
Because you were saying the Buck offense didn't show
that's
up.
Me. Oh, that's Lee. That's me.
Oh, that's the Kemper. Oh, I got the wrong guy in my crosshairs over here, gentlemen. The Kemper, slide into the heat lamp over there. I believe the Bucks scored 24 points that day, something like that. And you want to dwell on that they didn't score 34. You're not saying the defense played well that day, Lee. You're not arguing that.
To me, if you hold Drew Brees under 30 points, you're not doing too bad. I think that much of him. I have that much respect. I still contend the Bucs shot themselves in the foot offensively, and that's why they missed the playoffs, because they couldn't score in the fourth quarter against Dallas when they were in the game. Matter of fact, they had a lead against Dallas in the fourth quarter. And in the fourth quarter, the game was there for the taking against New Orleans. Offense didn't do anything.
I guess what I'm saying, Steve, is I think Winston's going to play this week, and if the Bucs lose, I don't think it's facetious to say the Glazers step in at that point, because it's hard to argue with Steve's point of view that he is the number one asset of this franchise.
Yes.
And
he's why Cutter has a job.
And the Glazers make it easy on Light and Cutter and say, shut him down. at least for, you know, until he's pain-free.
Well, you know what? You know, I know there's...
And I think Buck fans would understand that.
Yeah, and there's speculation, and understandably so. I don't know if it's responsible or not, but when you're 2-5, like the Bucks are, talk of job security with coaches or suits, it's expected. And if Jameis gets shut down, that's an out for Cutter, I think. In the sense that job security, like, hey, how do you expect me to win more than five or six games?
That's an interesting perspective from Cutter and Light. You know, they got to win games. There's other things involved, and that's where I say at 2-6, the Glazers could step in and maybe should step in and take the decision out of Light and Cutter's hands and say for the long range health of this franchise, shut them down for a while.
Well, this is where I have to counter, Ira, is why would they do anything except what the doctor says? Why would they do anything? Well, go see another doctor if you don't believe in your own doctor.
And I'm hearing that.
But
Jameis Winston is hurting, Steve. Jameis Winston is hurting.
Okay, but
when someone invokes the name James Andrews, that should sober people up.
NFL players play hurt.
And I'm not counting that guy that you drew up on the website, David Chow or whatever his name is. I don't like guys doing diagnosis without even having seen any x-rays or anything.
I wrote that story, and I included that in my story, that it's borderline irresponsible when you don't have the test. If he did have the test results.
It happens all the time, Steve. Yeah. You know, they bring these doctors on TV.
And I wrote this in my story Monday on JoeBucksFan.com that, you know, this guy, who am I to argue with an orthopedic surgeon that went to Harvard and Northwest?
Basing it on things that Dirk Cutter is saying at a podium. Dirk Cutter's not being very technical.
Well, he's also basing it on video, but that's still dicey. Unless you actually have test results, unless you actually interviewed the person, had an examination, that's, to me, I'm being polite when I say dicey. You're just going off a little bit of video, and you're saying, well, the guy's got a rotator cuff problem because I saw this on video. Any responsible physician would say, hold up. But he never mentioned in his column he's got test results that he's examined.
I don't think the Bucks would send it to him.
Well, no, of course. Maybe I'm wrong, but he made it very clear that he was watching video and watching TV and seeing quotes. So he gave his opinion. I mean, what more do we want in the media than an intelligent guy's opinion with him backing it up?
How is that irresponsible? It's dubious at best.
How is it dubious? He's telling everybody, I watched video. I saw quotes, and my assumption is, my reasonable years after 17 years working for the Chargers, is this might be going on.
Here's why it's irresponsible.
I'd put more stock into it if he's looking at an x-ray instead of a video.
Next time you go to see your physician, ask him, what would you think if I had something wrong with me and I went on a chat room with a doctor in California and he diagnosed me through a chat? That's basically what you're saying.
Well, he's not telling Jameis what to do. He's just offering an opinion in a newspaper. I don't see what's wrong with
it. Well, I mean, people are making the leap that, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. Well, no, he doesn't. He doesn't have all the information available.
But he told everybody, I don't have all the information available.
Well, I don't know if he did or not. I didn't get that tense.
I mean, you'd have to... I don't know why somebody would assume that this guy had x-rays and all that stuff.
I'm just not lending a lot of credibility to his assessment.
I am no way in no position to even remotely argue with a guy, an orthopedic surgeon, who went to Northwestern and Harvard. But to diagnose a guy just off a little bit of video and guarded words from a coach,
Steve,
hit the brakes.
Steve, if I asked my doctor for an expert analysis on you and I described your driving habits in Phoenix, he'd refer you to a psychologist.
Speaking of psychologists.
And so,
anybody that's still griping about someone's driving 8 months ago needs a shrink.
Needs medication.
Unforgettable.
All I'm saying is this. The guy was the Chargers team physician. This is not some guy out of nowhere. Very respected guy offering an opinion. Made it very clear this is his opinion. What more do we want in the media? It's interesting. Well, that's why I wrote about it. Is that irresponsible?
He should have included, I don't have test results. I know he said, I'm watching video. He came across as like, well, you know, I think he's got a rotator cuff. Well, yeah, that's like, again, that'd be like going on a chat session with a dermatologist in California saying, what's wrong with me?
Steve, if they pull this upset, and it would be a whopper, although, they're not 14-point underdogs. They're, 7-point underdogs. Steve, if they pull it off, do they have a glimmer of hope to salvage this season and make some kind of a state? Or is it over?
No. Look, you have to define salvage the season, okay? I think that's very important. John Gruden Monday night game, we all know that's coming up. Ring of Honor, we already have fans chanting Gruden and people looking for...
Steve called this in the summer.
People in their minds, upset fans, shocked fans, are looking for a new coach. Okay, well, Gruden comes in here. That's their 14th game. So, look, Can the Bucks get to 6-7, which is a level of respectability when that game starts? Yeah, they should. If you have a good offense, which we think the Bucks do, they have plenty of weapons.
Passing they do.
We'll see if the quarterback keeps playing. But if you have a good offense, you should win football games. You're not going to win all your games with no defense, but you should win games. We all grew up watching Dan Marino teams not make the playoffs but win plenty of games. Mm-hmm. Last 3 years, the Saints, electric leading NFL offense, go 7-9. We saw Chargers offenses through the years, you know, not really get too far but win games. So the Bucs should be able to win games. So if you're talking about salvage something or whatever, yeah, should this team be able to get back to 6-7 when Gruden shows up here for that Monday night game? I think so. And if they can't, then there's a real problem.
Ira, I got to ask you this. I don't know how well you know Michael Lombardi. I know you. He goes on his podcast. He's obviously not.
I think he used to be an Al Davis disciple.
He was Al Davis' right-hand man as well as Belichick. He ran the personnel department for Belichick up in Cleveland. It's pretty clear he's not a big fan of Dirk Cutter. Twice in the past 3 weeks, he's gone off on Cutter. Well, in his podcast, his recent podcast, you know, he basically said, not only is Dirk Cutter on the hot seat, I hear through the NFL that Gruden's waiting in the wings and the Glazers are ready to pounce.
Sounds to me like a man with an agenda.
Not only agenda, I thought it was a plant. What would you make of
that's
that?
Not bad, Lee. That's not bad. Your instincts, on occasion, are strong, and I think this is one of them. I don't put a lot of stock in Lombardi.
Well, you notice he worked with Gruden at one point.
Yeah.
So.
This has happened a lot. You know, then the Gruden to Tennessee rumors.
Always.
That's not going to happen. The college.
Do you think
I'm
his agent
about the volunteers of, his agent is crafty. Very, very crafty. He's the agent for 8 different coaches in the NFL. It's Mark Dominick's agent. He's Jason Light's agent.
Yeah.
This guy's a big guy, Lamont. And
you big dummy.
You know, he's got people in the media. He does. And he's a tremendous puppet master. He's outstanding. And he gets the rumors out
puppet
there.
Master.
And who knows? Maybe they're trying to weasel even more money out of ESPN for Gruden. I mean, the guy's making a ton as it is.
Yeah.
He's the highest paid employee.
Allegedly $6.5 million a year.
So he's not going to coach college football. John Gruden.
No.
I can tell you that. That's not going to happen. I think the Buck rumors are over and done. Did they ever make an overture to John Gruden? I think they did. Mm-hmm. They were rebuffed. They were rebuffed. At that time, Gruden still couldn't get over his dismissal. I'm not sure a lot has changed. Yeah, he lives in Tampa. Yeah, his last kid, you know, the youngest is almost out of high school. I understand all that. Yes, he does miss pro football, the coaching angle. But I still think it's a long shot for him. And as far as Dirk Cutter being on the hot seat, which is probably going to be a topic throughout the rest of the season for the three of us, I'll start off this conversation. I know we're not going to get into it today, but I'll start off like this. At some point, if the Glazers keep changing coaches after every 2 years, it's about the Glazers. It's not about the coach. I'll start right there. Steve, you have a rebuttal? You have anything you want to write down on that?
You know what? I still don't even know what a pinwheel is, but I know what an egg cream is, so I'm going to work on it.
I'm still lost in all of those.
Well, before we get to Gruden here, which
a little seltzer, a little chocolate syrup, you I mix think it the all
Gruden,
up.
I think the Gruden talk and that kind of talk is better saved for next week after we see what happens in this game, because it is a bit of a pivotal game when you talk about the futures of the hierarchy here. Cutter, Light. Real quick, Ira, I wanted to mention from our friends at fanretreat.com, the largest HBCU classic game is this month at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. Fanretreat.com is selling amazing packages for the true classic experience at the Florida Blue, Florida Classic. That includes where you can get tickets to the game at fanretreat.com, Battle of the Bands, and your hotel. Of course, Ira, familiar with the historic black colleges and universities.
I covered a few of those games.
Have you?
Yeah, so, a lot of passion. A lot of passion.
All the info at joebucksfan.com right now. Very cool stuff. You got packages or just tickets, and the tickets are discounted. They have an exclusive partnership with the bowl game. So it's not a bowl game, but with the game, and they've got some other cool things coming up. So check that out. So Ira, look, let's get back real quick to Mike Smith. You were at his news conference today. You said it wasn't a rough day for him, obviously, since his defense was respectable. And you glean anything from Smith? And if not, what'd you get in the locker room?
Well, I'll start off in the locker room, Lee. I thought it was a very subdued locker room. The only noise you heard was a couple of guys shooting hoops. Maybe the ping pong, you know, ball ricocheting off the racket. And by the way, there's a couple of really good players in the Bucks, and I know some of the fans won't want that table shut down. But believe me, listeners, it's got nothing to do with what they're doing on Sunday. This is a player's free time. But anyway, Gerald McCoy came in. He always talks on a Wednesday. He took one look at Bob Hansen from Channel 8, and, you know, Hansen following him like a puppy dog, you know, as they do, and said, I'm not talking today, fellas.
Gerald McCoy saying
and that. I mean it. And he walked back, and everybody stopped.
Well, you know, I walked in the locker room.
I think he feels maybe he's talked enough.
Good for him. And I hate to say it because I want him to talk because I'm a member of the media. But you know what? If that means I'm not talking because I got bigger things to worry about, good for him. There's something in the locker room I walked in today, and I know I just got a vibe that, you know what, no one gives a damn. So what if they're losing? There's some ping pong. Let's have a good time.
Let's shoot some hoops.
Let's crank up the music, Donovan Smith, even though he's been told I don't know how many times, you know, keep the music down because people can't do their job. No, he cranks it up right away. There's just a vibe in that locker room that I just don't get the sense there's any real, they don't give a damn.
And, you know, Steve. Steve, I tend to focus on the guys that don't come in. Doug Martin.
DeSean Jackson.
Levante David. DeSean Jackson. Where are they? Where are these people?
Vernon Hargraves walks out when we're walking in.
You know, I didn't see Grimes today. That to me is not a great sign.
I rarely see him in the locker room.
By the way, speaking of somebody that's needed on Sunday, Brent Grimes against Drew Brees. And I don't care what receivers Drew Brees has. He makes all of them, you know, look like Terrell Owens.
That's why he's a Hall of Famer.
That's what he does. That's what Brady does.
Yes.
That's what Rodgers does to an extent. That, to me, is one of the defining hallmarks of these guys. The receivers come and go. You know, you ever heard of Lance Moore after he left New Orleans? You know, but he was killing the Bucks year after year. So some of the guys are not showing up. I don't want to read too much into it, but I wouldn't mind talking to Levante David about what's going on. DeSean Jackson, are you frustrated? He's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I just – the vibe I got in the locker room today walking in, it was a general – this is a blanket statement. It doesn't mean Jameis, and that's why I said good for Gerald McCoy. I just get the idea, like, people are just going through the motions. Like, we lost. Okay, it stinks, whatever.
We're not far away from finding out, Steve, because if they don't show up Sunday, it's going to be ugly.
Well, we keep saying they're going to show up or not. Two things out of Sunday's locker room. Gerald McCoy, since you brought him up, I didn't write about this, but it really stuck in my head. He spoke after Sunday's game at his locker. And I asked the first question, and you know, people ask questions. He very quickly shut down any questions about the offense. He said, I don't talk about the offense. I play defense. Well, how many times over the years has Gerald McCoy talked about the offense? Jameis, Doug is Doug. We love Doug and all this stuff. And talking about the O-line and all his favorites on the O-line. And all of a sudden, now he doesn't talk about the offense?
There's other things Gerald's saying that you read between the lines. He's frustrated beyond words.
You got to remember, McCoy's been here since 2010. He's still looking for his first playoff game. It doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Ira, all he knows is losing, pretty much.
Two seasons, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, all he knows is being part of a losing franchise.
Well, he was hurt in 2010. He was hurt.
Steve is setting me up here.
He played 13 games, though.
Steve's setting me up here. I want your opinion on this, Ira. The Doug Martin fanboys will just go bananas when I say this. 0-4 with Doug Martin this year. 0-4. They were 2-1. He comes back. He's only had one 100-game rushing in two calendar years. I'm sorry, even garbage running backs get better. But he's not the best running back on the team. I'm sorry, Rodgers is.
No, I know you're not giving a pass to the offensive line, which has to do a better job. I wrote my column on Wednesday about physicality. They're not very physical.
Not really, they should be.
On either side of the ball. I notice it more, I think, on the offensive line with the run blocking. But, Lee, your point's not wrong. Doug Martin looks like Doug Martin from 2016, 2014,
with the exception
and
of 2013.
2013.
Yeah.
And those are not years, you know, you want to hang up on a wall.
I like that pelts, yes.
So here I go again with my weekly Peyton Barber plea. I don't know if it's falling on deaf ears or what. Can he do any worse?
I wrote a story Wednesday morning.
Is he in the doghouse?
Did
this guy do something?
Peyton Barber do something wrong? I agree with you. I wrote a story Wednesday morning about the MIA rushing attack. And it is MIA.
And it's hurting Winston.
Sure it is. Time. Because you know, we talked about turning Drew Brees into one-dimensional. Let's turn Jameis one-dimensional. And going through my research, I can't remember what game it was. You know, I always cite the Kansas City game that Peyton Barber came off the bench. Had some really nice runs.
He played very well in the
behind Donovan Smith's blocking, by the way, haters. And
He played well in the opener this year against Chicago.
Yeah, I can't remember what game it was, but it caught my eye.
I think it was the Kansas City game.
Well, it was. Yes, he did well against Kansas City. But what I'm saying is, when I was doing my research, going through the Bucs running backs, going through the game logs, going through Bucs stats, I just happened to come across a game that I never thought of, and I can't remember what it was. I should have wrote it down. And it wasn't this year. It was sometime last year. He was averaging like 9 yards a carry. Like, he had like 6 or 7 carries. He had like 70, 80 yards on 6 or 7 carries.
Yeah, he broke a 40-yarder late for a touchdown against San Francisco.
That was it, San Francisco.
Everybody rolled the Niners last year, but still, he earned some time here that he's not getting.
Is his blocking that terrible that they're scared to put him on the field?
And a couple of things on the running game, just real quick. I've said it before. It still baffles my mind that Jaquizz Rodgers got the game ball against the Giants because he ran so well, and then he got benched. That doesn't happen very often.
That's the second time he's gotten the game ball off the top of my head in a year.
And you got to wonder what's going through his head. He's watching Doug Martin run into a wall and not gain any yards and wondering why he's not getting
it. I sent everybody here on your podcast to the film, the first run from scrimmage by Doug Martin against Buffalo to illustrate Doug Martin. I want to send everybody back to the first run by Doug Martin against the Saints. Look at the film. Against the Panthers. Look at the film. Look at the choice Doug Martin had, and look at what happened, and you'll be disgraced.
Oh,
disgraced.
No vision.
No vision. No energy. It's just bad. I'm not going to sit here and describe it. If you want to see it, go watch it. It's very simple. First,
you mean he's going where the play's designed to go, but he doesn't make an adjustment because there's a defender there?
This simple play was blocked up by the Bucs. Okay, there was no big push
by the Panthers.
Blocked up by the Bucs.
The hole was there?
Blocked well. They got about a half-yard push off the line, everybody, completely. Mike Evans had sealed the right edge. And the middle hole, as soon as Barber gets the ball, the middle hole, there's a Panthers linebacker in there. Okay, so he's got it the right outside. He's got one cornerback coming up. And behind that cornerback is 30 yards of daylight. He doesn't even take on the corner, doesn't try to go outside, and simply runs into behind Mike Evans where another hole might have opened, but this cornerback was there. He basically just lowered his head, ran right into Mike Evans' butt, and somehow he hits Mike Evans' butt, and the guy who was a safety who Mike Evans was blocking somehow gets off Mike Evans and is off balance, yet pulls Doug Martin to the ground without him even getting a yard. It was terrible, and the point is he didn't even try to get outside. He's got no burst, and he had one guy to beat, didn't even try to beat him. And this is, you should be amped up first carry of the game, the same thing he did in Buffalo where he stopped. I don't know. Something's weird with Doug Martin.
So the Kemper's watching tapes of Jennifer Aniston, and you're watching Doug Martin.
Well, you asked me to lay it out.
And he's breaking down the tape even more real by real than you are.
Never knew Jennifer Aniston had such tapes out.
You asked me to bring it up, Ira, so I brought it up. Hey, Saints, real quick. Saints have found a defense. So, Ira, you know, I know you're on shorter time today, which our fans won't like, but you're a busy, busy man with your TV appearances.
A wanted man.
Now on Bay News 9, once a week, possibly twice a week.
Desired man.
Your new gig there and your Fox 13 Sunday, 10:30 a.m., Fox Tailgate Sunday.
TV celebrity.
They want me in the studio. They want Sunday morning. They want me live in the studio. Scott Smith will be at the Superdome. I'll be in the studio with Ricky Reynolds.
Kaufman's Corner doing
Kaufman's
his thing.
Corner, spell it right. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. One F. Although I was thinking when I heard you on with Rock Riley the other day on 10:40 a.m., I was thinking, would Ira take a massive sponsorship deal from Kaufman Tires to change his name to Kaufman instead of Kaufman with two Fs? Would you take $50,000 to do that?
Lee, you never turn your back. It's not personal. It's business, said Don Corleone. So there you go.
I think that would be great. You officially change your name. Sells naming rights.
I did tell a good story to Rock that day, though. I don't know if you ever heard
that
story.
Yeah, we've actually heard that story.
You're the one guy in this town that says Kaufman, so I got to give you credit.
All right.
So
I screw up. I got to keep an eye on myself.
Kaufman.
All right, there you go. Now, wait a minute. We got to make our picks.
What I'm leading to. So the Saints have a defense this year. 5 in a row, playing good football. What's your pick here for the good folks? You and Lee picked the Bucs last week. I picked Carolina. You're still in the lead for the season.
I'm going to trumpet what Lee said in the locker room. It's more of a vibe than anything in particular that you see. It's just a sense. They look beaten down.
Yeah.
Going into New Orleans is no picnic when the Saints stink. and the Bucks are rolling, it's hard. Like last year. I mean, the Bucks were a viable playoff team, and the Saints were playing out the string. What happens in the Superdome? The Saints win, Bucks season over. And the Saints finished 7-9. That's 3 years in a row they've been 7-9. This is going to be a different year for the Saints. Good for them. I have so much respect for Drew Brees. I don't think I respect any player in this league more than Drew Brees.
I mean, I'm with you.
The cast around him changes. He never makes any excuses. He's durable as heck. Well, anyway, that's my short way of saying I don't sense a Bucs second half surge like 2016, Lee. I don't see it.
Score?
I don't see a lot of pressure on Brees either.
What pressure? What edge rush?
I see 34-17. Saints.
That's a good pick. I was, with Jameis' shoulder and the things I'm hearing in the background, that's not coming from one Buck Palace. I want to be clear on that because I know people listen. Whew, as bad as the offense was last week with the Bucks, I'm going to say the defense plays better, but it's going to be 28-10 Saints.
I'm going to say 27-21 Saints. That kind of says it all. Better football team in the Bucks. They got a lot to prove. Still a lot to prove defensively. I think the offense will be okay. All right, Sage, let's go back to just because I think we scared a lot of people early with this Jameis talk. And if you do shut down Jameis, do you do it for the rest of the season? Or do you do it till the doctors say, hey, yeah, he doesn't have a bruise anymore? I mean, where do you draw a line here? Because I think it's too easy to say there's no point. Jameis still is going to develop and get smarter from playing another 4 or 5 games. If we believe he's a smart quarterback, then he's going to benefit from playing 4 or 5 games.
I think your point's well taken.
I don't know. What do you do? How do you shut him down? Is it temporary? What do you do?
Lee, if I shut him down starting with game 9, I don't make any blanket statements you're done for the rest of the year. I think that's silly. There is benefit with him developing more of a rhythm with DeSean Jackson.
Yes.
We've seen that, certainly. O.J. Howard. And that's coming along nicely. Maybe Godwin gets involved in November and December. So, no, I'm not going to say Winston's done for the year. I'm going to say give him some time off. Let that bruise heal. Let him get back to close to 100%. Never going to be 100% once you're in the season. And then if he does heal up, you play him and Fitzpatrick goes back to the bench. I'm not saying shut him down for the year, but I am saying if they lose, shut him down for a while.
Fair point.
All right, Sage, parting shots?
Wow, I can't believe the Kempers agree with me on a couple of things. You're not writing anything down.
All I wrote down was pinwheel. I got to go look it up.
Get with the pinwheel.
Can I ask you a Brooklyn Halloween question?
Oh, all right, let me hear it.
All right, what does a kid in Brooklyn in 1930 do on Halloween?
A cowboy.
1930.
I was a cowboy. Had a little cap pistol, brandished a little silver pistol.
had a hat going?
Had the hat going, the holster.
A star in a chest?
Now my brother would come in, my older brother, and he'd give me all blanks in my little gun. Oh. See the way he treats a younger kid? But that's what you did. And back then, by the way, your mother and father didn't have to walk with you for protection. They just send you out the door. In fact, they did that for about 10 years straight. Sent me out the door, said, see you when we see you. Wow. That was life in Brooklyn, but it was a different time, Steve. Everybody knew everybody. You know, everybody sitting on the porches.
Stoops?
That was a different time in America, gentlemen. Don't get me to wax poetic over here.
What'd you get in your pillowcase? What'd you get?
Maybe a nickel or a dime, which was good enough for a slice of pizza. You know, slice of pizza and a soda, 25 cents.
No M&Ms?
No M&Ms. Nah, bad for your teeth. On that note, let's get out of here.
Get out of here.